Baie baie dankie dat julle by ons aansluit hier op die senders van die Radio Kansel. My naam is Janie Pelser. Hierdie program se naam is Naweek Aktueel en dis altyd sommer baie baie lekker om te mag kuier. Woesie is ons kontroleur, help vir ons om tegnies te sorg dat die program op datum bly en op koers bly. En ek sê sommer vir hom ook baie 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 dankie. Onthou dat die programme van Radio Kansel, ook hierdie program Naweek Aktueel, dat dit 'n potgooi beskikbaar is en jy kan 'n bietjie dit vind by ons webtuiste www.radiokansel.co.za en jy gaan soek maar net vir Naweek Aktueel. En ek dink die saak waaroor ons vandag met mekaar gesels is uiters aktueel. Ons het ook Woensdag gedurende ons aktualiteitsprogram 'n bietjie gesels oor die regering van nasionale eenheid. Ons is so skuins aan die ander kant van 'n 100 dae van 'n government of national unity. Some people are positive, some people are negative, some people say there are cracks, etc., etc. So many people, so many views, points of view, but it's always good to listen to what people have to say. Specialists, I spoke to some people that really knows what's happening. Also behind the scenes, and so I invite you to look at and listen to the podcast of our program Perspective. That we've had on Wednesday during the course of this week. So baie baie dankie dat jy ingeskakel is. Is 'n baie groot voorreg om saam met jou te mag kuier. At the time when we have this conversation, it's about lunchtime. And I've just went to the fridge just a couple of minutes before this conversation, opened my fridge, and there was a lot to eat. We had our children over last night, and we were fortunate that we could have prepared a wonderful meal. It was a wonderful meal with a lot of variety. There's a lot that is left over that I enjoyed during my lunch hour. And I was just thinking of how privileged I am that I can choose from different types of food in the fridge and enjoy to my heart's delight. Now, this is part of God's grace. I'm thankful, extremely thankful. But at the very same time, there are millions, millions of South Africans who do not have this choice, who do not have this privilege, who has to enjoy what is available, if anything is available. And if anything is available, it's not always nutritious, etc., etc. And this is what we're going to speak about today. And my guest is Alan Browdy. And I hope that I pronounced this correctly, Alan. And he is the CEO and founder of SA Harvest. Alan, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Baie dankie, Jannie. Baie dankie.
There was a statement that you released during the course of this week. Now, we celebrated, let me just get what it is called. It's called World Food Day on the 16th of October, which was during the course of this week. And Alan Browdy, as I've already said, the CEO and founder of SA Harvest, is very much involved in research and everything that's part and parcel of that. And he can inform us exactly what the state of affairs is in terms of hunger and poverty in a South African context and the work that they are doing to address this particular issue. I've noted here, Alan, and I must congratulate you. It just shows that where there's a will, there's a way. In Afrikaans, we say that's a vavara willis is daar 'n weg. And your organization, SA Harvest, is a recent player in the field, 5 years since its inception. Now, I just read here from the media briefing that I have. SA Harvest has rescued 19 million kilograms of food from going to waste. And you can explain to us what that is all about. And then in 5 years, delivered the equivalent of 63 million meals and prevented over 1.2 million kilograms of methane gas emissions. I mean, this is incredible. And I want to congratulate you and thank you also on behalf of the millions of people that do not have the privilege of choosing what they want to eat, if anything is available. Thanks, Alan, for joining us. Alan, tell us something about, just in a nutshell, because we'll return to this, of this organization that you founded, the SA Harvest Organization, whatever you call it. Help us to understand this, please.
Yeah, sir. Thank you very much, Yanni. In fact, I must tell you that we launched our operations on World Food Day 5 years ago. So today is actually World Food Day, the 16th.
Yes.
And so we're very excited about that. Sure. And we're excited about what we've done. You've mentioned it in 5 years. We're higher than that now. It's about 68 million meals. And we've rescued that from the food chain, and we've delivered it to our beneficiaries, you know, all over the country. But Yanni, you know, hunger is a massive problem in our country.
Sure.
And it's more than a massive problem. It is the most important, urgent problem that needs to be solved. And I'll give you an example that really, for me, is the most telling statistic in this country. 27%, and I repeat that figure, 27% of our children up to the age of 5 are so malnourished, they suffer from stunting, from wasting, and often irreparable cognitive damage. Now, when you think about that in a country which has a surplus of food, it's not like we're at war or there's a famine. Our technology, our agricultural technology, is part of the first world. Now, that 27% of our children are so malnourished is simply a crime against humanity. That's what it is. There is absolutely no reason why our children should be in such a state. And think about it. You know, you're talking about approaching a third of our children. Yes. What is this? These are kids of 3, 4, 5 years old. What's going to happen in 15 years when a huge amount of kids who suffered all this are now going to become part of our economy? It's an existential threat to our country, apart from anything else. And that nothing is being done about it is absolutely incredulous. So, you know, Yanni, this is what, when I learned these figures, you know, yes. 5 years ago, I had my own business. I decided, no, I've got to give back and try and do something. And so this is how it started for me. And, you know, Yanni, our constitution, regarded as one of the most advanced constitutions in the world, in Section 27, it says every South African is entitled to enough food. Section 28 says every child is entitled to enough nutrition. What has happened that the government has not fulfilled these obligations in whatever way, with the help of civil society, with the help of all the population? Why haven't they done it? Why? There are things they can do to ensure that this disastrous situation is, you know, comes to an end.
Yes. You know, when I think, Alan, when I think about South Africa making its voice known and its opinion known internationally, when I think about what's happening in the Middle East, which is right, I'm not saying that it's wrong or right. We appreciate the fact that we say, but listen, we have an opinion with this as far as this is concerned. We see people suffer, etc., and we address the United Nations in this regard and so on. But Homefront says, but there's a lot that, I mean, this is sin against humanity, and we fail ourselves, because these are the leaders, these young people, children especially, are supposed to be the brain power, the type of energetic young people that needs to grow up in order to take this country forward. The why question comes to mind. Is it a lack of political will? Is it that we simply do not have our priorities straightened out and worked out? Is ons sommer net slordig en trap my nie agtig? What is the problem that this is the situation in the year 2024?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in many ways, it's almost unanswerable, Yanni. You know, you talk about places on the planet today, terrible suffering in the Middle East, terrible suffering in Sudan, if you read about what's happening there, in war-torn countries like the Ukraine and all parts of famine suffering countries in Africa, and the climate change and so on is all affecting us all. But as you say, these are soluble problems that we're suffering. It's not a question of, well, this is a part of God's work, as you would say, natural disasters and wars and things. This is soluble. They could make a massive difference in 24 months, our government. So, organizations like ours, Yanni, we do good work. And there are a lot of people like us that do good work. Yeah. And but in the end of the day, what we can do is helps millions of people. We've helps families. But the overarching problem can only really be solved through the intervention of the government. And they can do things. And the question you're asking, why don't they? Yanni, you answer me. And you answer yourself.
Why? Who would be the relevant, as a matter of interest and information, the department, naturally government as a whole, but is there a particular department that deals with food security? If I want to write a letter, for instance, or our listeners want to write a letter and say, but we heard about this issue and we want to ask you, why don't you address it sufficiently? Who is the person responsible ultimately?
Very good question. And I'll tell you that that's part of the problem because – And by the way, if you want to write a letter, Yanni, I suggest you write it upstairs because you may get an answer quicker than if you write it to the responsible.
On a horizontal level.
Yeah. So look, I'll tell you one, and it's part of the problem.
Yeah.
The food management of our country has been the responsibility of three government ministries. Yeah. Agriculture, forestries and fisheries, and health.
Yeah.
Now, with great respect, I know everybody's got a job and it's easy to criticize. But from our experience, you take those three ministries, they haven't really been able to get organized within themselves. Never mind organizing the whole strategy about ending hunger. You know, in England, after the Second World War, when there was devastation in Europe and devastation in that country, but I just use this as an example that has been used, they created a Ministry of Food.
Yeah.
It wasn't agriculture, health and this. They created a Ministry of Food that was empowered, and they did the most amazing things. Now, we've often suggested that that's one of the solutions. Now, previously, it didn't go down too well because, unfortunately, the country developed a distrust of ministries, of government departments. They felt that it was open to a lot of shenanigans and, it wasn't something that found much favor. But now, I believe that with the GNU, we have an opportunity. I think there's a change. I really do believe there's that possibility. And government should think seriously of empowering a Ministry of Food to bring all the requirements together. And Yanni, it's not that complicated. So just one example. 10 million tons of food goes to waste every year in South Africa. One third of our production. One third. By the way, the input cost to develop one third of our production is about 64, 65 billion rand a year. That's going to waste because we're using that to produce 33% of our production that's going to waste.
Sure, yes.
These figures. So one of the things they have to do is to make food waste illegal. That's one of the things. You've got to say to the farmers, to the manufacturers, to the retailers, those three main bodies, it's illegal, guys. If you waste, you are going to get fined millions. If you don't waste and you reach your potential in rescuing enough food from going to landfill, we'll give you tax breaks.
There can be incentives or some type of...
They've done it all over the world, Yanni. They did it in France. They were very successful. They've done it in Brazil. They've done it in places. And we have to start doing these things.
So, Alan, this is absolutely wonderful, the fact that you rescue food. You call it food rescue, which is an interesting term. Recovering surplus food that would otherwise go to waste. It's something that we can cry about, and redirecting it to communities in need. But in a nutshell, tell us something about, at the end of the day, this is what SA Harvest does, and let's celebrate that. And also take notice of what it is that SA celebrate, SA Harvest. It may be just a small voice in terms of the totality of need, but this is what we do. We take notice of it and we celebrate with you, especially since you've just had your fifth birthday, please.
Okay, so if I may just go back a step, we have a triangular strategy. On the one side is rescuing food, which I'll come to, because our mission is to end hunger. Now, rescuing food and feeding people is absolutely vital in South Africa. It saves lives. That's the bottom line. The NGO space saves lives. The other side of our triangle strategy is what we call systemic intervention, because charity feeding does not end hunger. It staves off the pain of hunger and saves lives. But to end hunger, as I've explained, you need systemic intervention. You need government intervention, you need training, you need employment, you need investment from outside, you need the whole thing to actually end hunger. So we get involved in systemic intervention at our level of training, of entrepreneurial training, of planting, and that type of thing. Now, rescuing food is your main question. So all this food goes to waste in the food chain. So what we do is we go to farmers, we go to manufacturers, and we go to retailers, and we help them to, instead of sending their food, good food, to landfill, we offer to pick it up and redirect it and take it to beneficiaries. We have over 200 beneficiaries countrywide who are various types of beneficiaries. But their principle is they feed hungry people, whether they're a school or an early childhood development center or just a community soup kitchen, that's where we go. Now, to collect that food, sometimes we get in, like yesterday, we had an amazing offer and we received 48 tons of frozen vegetables, which we now have to bring in. Yeah. And we can't do that ourselves. 48 tons, you need two interlinks almost. Yeah. So we have great relationships with the logistics fraternity who most often do it pro bono for us. They send their huge trucks and they bring it in, or we send our trucks, and that's how we do it.
It seems to me that there's a willingness. South Africans want to share. Food producers want to share. But just to get that, the logistics, somebody to take the responsibility to fetch what is the extra food and take it to a place where... So it really boils down to a willingness to be of service, whatever fraternity, whatever place within the food chain you occupy. But somebody just to say, but you've got this, we've got an audience, let us bring you two together.
You're so right. South Africans are, you know, I've traveled a huge amount. I've been fortunate in my life all over the world. And I must tell you, there's nothing like the South Africans, warm and friendly and generous. And so many people are getting so hurt by this situation where children are suffering, where there's no need. But you are so right. There's so many people willing to help and be part of this process. And I must tell you, that our donors, food donors, they're amazing. You know, they're big farmers, they're big manufacturers, they're amazing. But our role is to help them because, you know, these huge, generous businesses, they're running a business. It's a huge business. Their time is involved. You've got to understand that. So organizations like ours come and say, you know what? We understand that. Let us take the responsibility. Let us help you do that. And they welcome it. They welcome it. So, you know, together as in collaboration with so many people and so many companies and organizations, we're starting to make a difference.
What I think is very important, perhaps you could just expand on that for a moment, is it's not just delivering food. It's wonderful. If you're hungry, you'll eat anything. But that doesn't contribute to your overall development and health. And especially, again, when it gets to our children who have to grow up. I mean, they are in those formation years. Optimal nutrition is of the utmost importance in order for them to be everything that God created them to be. But without food and without opportunity, et cetera, et cetera, they can't reach that potential. It's because somebody looked after us that today we can fulfill the function that we were called to fulfill. But there are millions of children that do not have that opportunity at the moment.
Millions. And you're hitting the nail on the head. The theme of World Food Day is the right to right food.
Yes.
Now, the first right is a constitutional right.
Yes.
That is our constitutional right. It's in our constitution. So that's the right to the right food. And the right food is nutritious food. So you're hitting the nail on the head. The problem is hunger, of course. But the solution is not just food per se. You know, there's a dual problem or dual effect in South Africa. A lack of nutrition causes two things. It's ironic. The one is wasting of children, and the other is obesity in adults.
Yes.
Both of those cause very serious damage to human beings. The first one we heard, stunting, wasting, cognitive impairment. The second one, when it's lack of nutrition in adults, causes obesity because there's no nutrition. People are eating only starch. Yes. And as a result of that, there's obesity, and mainly in South Africa, diabetes, which is it's an absolute epidemic in our country. Yeah. So when you talk about nutrition and the right to the right food, sums it up absolutely perfectly.
Alan, when I think about, and I'm speaking to myself, I'm the first audience.
That's the most interesting conversation you'll have.
Yeah. if an organization like yours, still very young, can deliver probably within the 5 years period, and it's just a figure, we just used the figure, 63 million meals. Then I and thousands, if not millions of South Africans that are able, that are blessed, can surely deliver one meal a day or one meal a week or even one meal a month. If an organization can deliver 63 million meals, is there any excuse for me not to feed somebody, one person, on a daily basis or a weekly, because our contexts differ, but at least to make a choice and to make a deliberate choice and say, but in future, I'm going to do my little bit because it's going to make a difference.
So, you know, Mother Teresa, I mean, it's a quote that I use often. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed a million children, feed one.
Feed one, yes.
And that's your point. That's your point. If millions of people who were fortunate enough to have food fed a decent, nutritious meal to one person, think about how many millions of meals would be delivered in a month.
Absolutely.
So your point is 100% relevant.
Alan, in closing, just there are many, many opportunities. The need is great. What is the greatest challenge that you are facing as an organization currently? So that we could think about that, pray about it with you guys, but at the same time, just on a point of information, what kind of struggle is it or challenge is it at the moment that is the biggest challenge that you face in doing what you do?
So, I mean, on a very practical level, funds are always a challenge. We are an NGO. We rely on benefactors to give us money and food. So that's our biggest challenge. You know, we have an amazing stat for ourselves that for us to deliver a meal costs around 1 rand for a 300-gram meal. So if someone gives us 10,000 rand, that's 10,000 meals. Sure. And it's a challenge because the more money we get, the more good we can do. And so that is a challenge. And, one has to be straightforward about it. I mean, there are deeper challenges like getting the government to do what it has to do and rescuing as much as we can, you know, the optimal amount. But in the end of the day, we need funding to help people. And it's efficient gifting. Someone gives us a gift of 1 million rand, that's 1 million meals we are able to deliver.
My guest, Alan Browdy, and he is the CEO and founder of SA Harvest. Thank you so much for a lovely conversation. It's a disturbing topic, but thank you for the way that we could interact with one another. We here at Radio Pulpit wish you well. May you grow from strength to strength, and may your challenges be addressed in a very meaningful way. And may the GNU, you said the Government of National Unity, you called it the GNU, and I was thinking of a canoe. So may the GNU become a canoe that fare the waters and indeed make a difference. Thank you so much, Alan. May I, because often it happens that people meet one another, and I don't know whether you know Gershon Naidu. Gershon is the program director for Meals on Wheels. And may I introduce him? This is Gershon. And Gershon, this is Alan. Alan is with SA Harvest, and Gershon is with Meals on Wheels. And basically, you do the same work. Can I introduce you?
Thanks, yes. And I wanted to tell you, Meals on Wheels is the most amazing organization. I have the utmost respect for the Meals on Wheels. We have worked together a bit. In collaboration, I'd love to collaborate more. But Gershon, you guys can be really proud of yourselves. You've done amazing work.
Thank you very much, and you guys as well. We have worked together, especially during the riots and the flooding in KZN.
Right,
Yeah, together we can achieve so much more.
Absolutely, collaboration in this industry is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. So look forward to seeing you again and to working together more, Gershon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Alan, again, thank you so much for your time. And folk, listeners that want to know more about SA Harvest, you simply go to the website. You'll find the website and you'll find contact details on the website. It will direct you to the correct telephone numbers or email addresses, etc., etc. And there you can contact and make contact and have interviews and suggestions with Alan Browdy and also with his colleagues as far as the work of SA Harvest is concerned. But now it's my privilege, and may I just remind listeners, you're listening to the programs of Radio Pulpit. My name is Janne Pelser. This program's name is Naweek Aktueel in Afrikaans. It means it's actuality. We speak about things that are important, and the fact that that children, not only children, but marginalized people are suffering in South Africa is something that concerns all of us. I mean, there's not one of us that would say, especially as people, listeners of Radio Pulpit, but I would imagine that most citizens in South Africa would say, listen, it's a concern that there are people that are marginalized and that are not looked after properly and not always also assisted that they can become self-sufficient, et cetera, et cetera. So it's in that regard that I speak with my friend Gershon Naidu. Thank you so much for being available. You represent Meals on Wheels. Tell us something about Meals on Wheels. Now, This is an organization, actually I saw it, there was a, it's more than that, it's Meals on Wheels and something else.
Community services.
Community services, that's the whole word, community services. But you've been in business, inverted commas, for quite some time now.
Yes, sir. Firstly, let me apologize to the for the background noise. We at Louis Vale Clinic in Uppington, and the noise you hear in the background are the children being fed. I could not get out of that responsibility, so I sincerely apologize.
What a wonderful thing.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Meals on Wheels has been in existence for 60 years this year, from 1964. We started just serving 16 meals in Duncanville, East London, to the elderly under, you know, if you Google Dr. Dennis Baird, he's a very influential leader in the communities. And what started at just feeding elderly in their homes has grown to an organization. And I say this by the grace of God. Yes. I'm not bragging. This is his. We're feeding 200,000 people a day in South Africa through 181 kitchens. We have a staffing of over 1,000 people. We have in our program, the community services, we have community gardens, farms, because we really want to go from the ground to the plate. We have retirement villages, frail care hospitals, hospices, early childhood development programs. So we really want to beat this thing called poverty that is plaguing so many South Africans.
I'm so glad that you say it this way. How can we beat this thing? It's not just something that we have to endure. We live with it until the end of time. It's just part and parcel of this reality, and so we don't foresee that there could be something better. Our agenda should be, a combined agenda should be, how can we combat this whole issue and get on the other side of it? That it may be theoretical, it may be a dream, but that there's nobody in South Africa that goes to bed hungry tonight.
Yes. That's our dream, you know. I'm perplexed with that one text in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, that says, the poor will always be with you. You know, therefore, I command you to open your hands to the poor. That's a text that troubles me a lot. But it also reminds me that God has put them there for a purpose, so that we can be of service to them.
Yes.
That's what we want to be, of service. We know that we might not be able to create employment for all the unemployed in South Africa, but at least if we can give them the very basics, like a plate of food, I mean, that's the beginning of them feeling loved and hoped and cared for.
Tell us something about the community that you serve, the various incidences of being marginalized, which is varied, but just give us an idea of what kind of people do you deal with on a daily basis? You give 200,000 meals on a daily basis. Who are the people that you feed?
The people that we mostly feed are those that are destitute, those that have no access to food whatsoever. So if I can give you an example here in Uppington, we in Louis Vale, in a colored community, what we call a colored community. I like to say we're all South Africans. I don't like that racial profiling.
Yes.
And this community, it's so poor. They have no food. There's no work in Uppington. And we had all types of people coming into the line, but the saddest are the children. And you can see some of them have never been to school. Some of them have not eaten for days. You know, they say when you look at a child's body, you'll know how much nutrition they have in it. You know, a bloated stomach, skinny legs, skinny hands. And that's what we see here today in Uppington. And it's really heartbreaking, you know, and you never can get used to it.
I want you to take one more minute and describe to our listeners what is it that you see at the moment whilst you are feeding children there in Uppington.
We parked at the Louis Vale, what they call it, the VAG clinic. And around the clinic is a whole lot of squatter house, you know, informal settlements, we call them.
Yes.
And you see people walking towards the line with expectation. Because they're not sure what they're going to get. And then they open the bag and you just see their faces light up and they can't believe that today at least they have a sandwich of fruit, a packet of raisins, and some juice. It a simple thing like that. And especially the children and how they walk, you know, they walk with expectation towards you, but they run away with the excitement. And I think for me, this is the joy of what we do in Meals on Wheels.
There may be people that listen or that reason and say, but why don't these people work? They're just being lazy. They get spoiled because there's a meal available. There are so many role players that wants to or want to reach out to people, soup kitchens, etc., etc. So people go from the one place, and if they're not being addressed there, then they simply move to the next place until they've, you know, there's always a resource available. And they lie the responsibility before the vulnerable. Now, I would imagine that there are cases where people take chances, but your experience, why do people find themselves in these desperate situations?
Hi, Annie. Yes, just coming back to that question that you asked me, it's a very difficult question to answer, really, because if you look at the challenges that are facing South Africa, the Statisticians General says now that there's 1 in 3 South Africans that are facing malnutrition. And, you know, when we're stopping at a stop street and somebody comes and knocks on our door, we say, Ahmed, just another one. I mean, can't they go find a job? Can't they just go worry somebody else? But for a person who wakes up in the morning with no hope, because there's no work, because of the situation that life has dealt them, the least we can do is give them something to eat. You know, when people come to me and I tell them I work for Meals on Wheels, they say, yeah, you're creating dependency.
But is it? Yes.
What do we know about the lady that lives in Langa that has lost all her children, that's taking care of the grandchildren, that's trying to support them on a grant? Every single person that you meet that is hungry has a unique story to tell. But the upside of that is, and that's what I'd like to share with the listeners today, we have so many stories that we can share. And the one that is very near and dear to me is when I went to fill a petrol in my car the other day. And I always like wear my Meals on Wheels shirt. And the petrol attendant came to me. He says, you know, I was hungry. I had no hope. And I came to your kitchen there in Bloemfontein, there at Sandspit. It's the generic name for it.
And yes.
They gave me food every day. And I spoke to your manager and I said, I have this job interview. And she arranged a suit for me. And I got this job filling petrol because of Meals on Wheels, because of the food that you gave me, because of the clothes that you gave me to wear. And that's why we do what we do. If you can just change that one person's life, that's all it is.
Yeah. Wonderful testimony. For this one, it made a difference. That wonderful story about the starfish. For this one, it made a difference. There's a constant need. NGOs and people that work with nonprofit organizations and so on often say, but where do we find the people that would help us, that will strengthen us? But it seems like Meals on Wheels has a good story and a good experience as far as people that are willing to come and simply join you in what you do.
Yes. We have, you know, and if I can just say, today is World Food Day. And we are inundated. I'm in Upington because there's a lot of corporates that wanted to join in with Meals on Wheels. They sent all their staff in their factory to help us cook and distribute food today. And the same is happening in East London, in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, all over South Africa. And I really believe, and I said that to Alan, together we can achieve more. My only challenge is that as nonprofit organizations, sometimes we're competing with each other. We should work together. And the Meals on Wheels can bring its strength. The SA Harvest can bring its strength. And all the other NGOs can bring their strength. Instead of working against each other, work together to end hunger in South Africa.
Now you operate, help me if I'm wrong, I think it was something like 161 venues all over South Africa from where you serve people. Am I right?
Yes. It's 181 kitchens, sir.
And 181. So if there are listeners, people listening to our program, where do they find a list or something of those places, those points of service? And can they make contact with people there and say, listen, I'm available, I'm willing, how can you use what I have to give?
That's very easy. There's two ways you can do it. So one is just email info@mealsonwheels.org.za, and you tell us where you are, and we will try to arrange a place where you can go volunteer. But, you know, the rules around volunteers are very strict. So sometimes people want to come when they are available, not when we need them. So that's why I say follow the email, send the email, and then we will get in contact with you as soon as we can.
Lastly, so people cannot join, for instance, for whatever purpose they say, but also that is not an option for me. What can regular people, inverted commas, do to help combat and win this situation with hunger in South Africa?
You know, it starts with a simple thing like, you know, if you're making two slices of bread for yourself at work today, make two slices extra. And the guy that knocks on your window and asks for money, give him the two slices of bread. That's sorting his hunger out for that day. Or support your local nonprofit organization. You know, there's many nonprofit organizations. I think the stats is like 260,000 registered nonprofit organizations in South Africa at the moment. But I really believe that helping others begins with an individual, not with a corporate or not with an NGO. Help how you can, when you can, who you can.
So once again, the challenge, I refer to our previous speaker, and the same with Gershon, he's the National Program Director for Meals on Wheels. They distribute in the region of 200,000 meals every day. If I have the ability, God doesn't expect anything from us that we do not have. Yes. But if I have, then I have the obligation, but also the privilege to share. And we can make it just with reference to what Meals on Wheels are doing. It can be 200,001. It can be 200,010. It can be 300,000 meals, 200,000 being dished out by Meals on Wheels, and 100,000 because Radio Pulpit listeners came into action and said, but listen, there's a challenge, we're going to do something. Mm. So everybody, all of us can do something to help people with their need. My last question is the same as I had with Alan. What is your greatest challenge at this time, Gershon?
Yeah, and I happen to catch that a little bit, and I think our challenges for all nonprofits are the same, you know, funding, resources. But I think for me, my personal message I'd like to leave to your listeners is support your local nonprofit, even if it's a simple thing like liking and sharing a tweet or a post about that nonprofit organization that you choose to follow or that you choose to like. Because if we can get the message out there that there are people that are caring for others, I think it will really make our work as nonprofits much easier. You know, there's always that a stigma attached to a nonprofit organization. Let's try and lose that. Let's be positive that, you know, together we can make this change.
Mr. Naidu, National Program Director for Meals on Wheels, Gershon, thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you for the example. Because you, in a sense, also represent the rest of South Africans that want to reach out and make a difference, especially where you found yourself today in Upington and wherever you are being deployed all over South Africa. Thank you for what you are doing. Sincerely, we appreciate that. Hopefully our listeners will remember the name Meals on Wheels, even though they're quite familiar with it, and pray for the staff and the challenges and whatever is needed for Meals on Wheels to do their work optimally. And may you go from strength to strength. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Do appreciate. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
You too. Bye.
Nou ja, ons het gesels met Gershon Naidu en hy is nasionale program direkteur van Wheels on Meals on Wheels. Nee, amper kan ek hom nie sê nie. Meals on Wheels. En ons het ook gesels met Alan, wat net sy naam mooi kry, Alan Brody, en hy is die CEO en founder van SA Harvest. Mense, en die goed wat hulle dan vandag met ons gedeel het, gryp 'n ou in die hart. Stry. Luisteraars, stry. Dit gryp 'n ou in die hart. En weer een keer, die Here vra nie van ons iets wat ons nie het nie, maar is daar 'n manier waarop ek en jy vandag, môre en in die toekoms toch wel op 'n manier 'n verskil kan maak in die lewens van mense wat swaar kry. en daar is miljoene der miljoene mense. Ons hoor van die kinders wat saans gaan slaap, dit is net te tragies. Kinders daar in Upington, wat Gershon vir ons gesê het, wat daar laas geëet het. Julle, dit is verskriklik. Radio Kansel, luisteraars, kom ons wees verbeeldingryk in die wyse waarop ons 'n verskil maak. En miskien wil jy met my deel in die verband. My naam is Jannie Pelser en jy kan vir my skrywe by Jannie en dan by daai opsterkie net toekomsvenster een woordjie toekomsvenster.co.za en die e-pos op my uitkom en vertel wat jy doen of watter voorstel wil jy maak of watter uitdaging beleef jy of hoe het jy toe betrokke geraak na hierdie program. Mag die Here vir jou ryklik seën. Nogmaals baie dankie vir ons saamkuier en tot 'n volgende keer alles wat mooi is. Totsiens.